You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, since we have all sinned, what have we done? We have made ourselves deserving of the wrath of God. We might not feel that way, it might not make sense, others might not agree, but according to God's holy word, that is true. But what has God done, though? God has chosen us, God has redeemed us, God has forgiven us through Jesus Christ. So the bad news is really bad, but the good news is so good that it overcomes all of the bad news, and now we are forever blessed. But we have a problem, though, because we are not yet in heaven. And when we think about the Christian life is a marathon. It is not a sprint. So we have, in some cases, a long way to go to get to the finish line, a long way to go until God finally brings us home to heaven. Thinking about that period of time, as we go through the Christian life, let's understand that we're going to encounter countless difficulties, and those difficulties are going to challenge us. Sometimes those difficulties are going to try to overwhelm us, and sometimes those difficulties are going to cause us to consider giving up on God. We might not want to think about all such things, but let's realize those are realities for us who have experienced such things. We know they can be true, and for others who have not, you should realize that great difficulties will probably come into your life at some point. So we need what Jesus said today. As we go back to the parable, let's see how Jesus is going to encourage us, how he's going to show us how we can get through the difficult times, and how we should never give up on God, no matter what. Going back now to our text, we're in Luke chapter 18, picking up in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus told them a parable that they must always pray and not lose heart." So if we lose heart, we stop praying. So we should always pray and not lose heart. Prayer is such a simple thing. It's simply talking to God with our words and also with our thoughts. So it's a great blessing that God has given to us. Let me go down through a little list here of some realities of prayer, good things for us to keep in mind. First of all, Jesus is the only one between us and God. Various people have other ideas, but the Bible makes it clear that God the Father is up here, we're down here, Jesus Christ is in the middle, he's the one mediator, he's the only one through whom we can go in order to get to the Father. So for those who reject Christ, then they have no opening to go to God the Father. Also, too, that's why the Bible teaches that we must know Jesus Christ as Savior in order to be able to go to God in prayer. When we reject Jesus as Savior, then we are rejecting the way through which we can, again, go to God in prayer. Also, too, as believers, think about the great privilege we have to pray to the Almighty God. Wow. Think about all the important, powerful, famous people in the world. Can you call them? Can you stop by their home? Can you contact them in some way? We are nothing to them. They don't have time for us. But the Almighty God, though, he has time for us. He loves us. He wants to hear from us. We have the privilege to talk to him with our words and thoughts at any time of the day. What a great blessing we have. Also, too, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit helps us when we pray. Sometimes we are dealing with something in life and we're able to express it to God. Sometimes life can be so hard that we have something going on and we're somewhat overwhelmed with what is going on. We don't even have the ability to be able to express that to God. And what does God teach us there in Romans chapter 8? He teaches us that the Holy Spirit is there within us in order to express this very important need to God our Father in heaven on our behalf. So God wants us to know that great blessing. And then think about it. God is almighty in power. He spoke the universe into existence. So whatever problem we have, it becomes so small and so insignificant when we realize the greatness and the power of the Almighty God, and then mix in there that He loves us. He wants to hear from us. And then the final one here I want to share at this time. I don't like the final one so much, but it's a reality though. So with the final one here, God answers according to His timing and also according to His knowledge of what is truly best. Why don't I like that? Can you understand? When I want something, when do I want it? I want it now. But that's not always God's timing. And then I might say, God, I want this. And God might be saying, oh no, that's not a good thing for you. I'm going to give you this instead. So God is saying, trust me on the timing. Trust me on what I give you. And know that according to what I know as the Almighty God, I'm giving you the best thing at the best time. And then we should not lose heart. What happens to people who lose heart? They become discouraged, they do not successfully hold on, and they end up giving up. When that happens, that's very bad, that's very sad. So in today's gospel reading here, as we continue, Jesus is going to give us some great encouragement, some great instruction. Continuing now in the text here, Jesus said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.'" So what can we say about the woman? She has been wrongly accused. Also, she was a widow, so we can assume she was poor. She had no ability to be able to buy the judge's favor. Are there wealthy people in the world today that think, "I have so much that yes, I've done wrong, but I think I can buy my way into heaven"? Some people might think that way, but certainly we know, though, that that is utter foolishness. Now, what about the judge? The Bible tells us here that he did not fear God, so he did not do so on a personal level, nor did he do so on his position over the people as a judge. And also, he had no respect for people. If we take a closer look there at the Greek word on him having no respect, it was like he didn't even pay attention to anyone else. So he could be in a room and someone could walk into the room and he doesn't even turn that way. He doesn't even look. All he's concerned about is himself. That was the judge. Jesus on purpose here is painting a very poor picture of the judge. He's painting a picture of a very needy woman because he wants to contrast the judge with the Almighty God, who is completely different than the judge, and also us who have, in a way, some similarities with the woman. But as a woman does not give up, God is saying to us, don't give up either. And he's going to give us some good reasons, even better reasons than the woman had, for not giving up. Think about the woman's action. She had no money, she had no power, but what she did have is persistence. So she kept going to the judge. Maybe every single day she went to him saying, "Deal with me in a proper way." And then what about the judge? the judge. Initially, he was inactive. He wasn't going to do anything. He completely ignored her. So the judge did not finally respond to her because of the widow's unquestioned right for him to respond. He did not respond to her because the person coming against her was obviously wrong, but rather he responded to her only out of his own personal ease, his own personal peace. So what she was doing in her persistence was hurting him, and the only way he could stop himself from being hurt was to give her what she wanted. What can we learn from that? As we continue here in the text, Jesus is going to address a little bit what he said in the parable and then give us some encouragement. So going back to the text, it says, "The Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says.'" So in other words, Jesus is saying, hear how this judge finally responded. We're going to go more into that then. And then Jesus said, "And will not God most certainly give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" So a number of things here. Let's address those here by taking a look at these five words. So first of all, with the word interest, let's understand that the judge had absolutely no interest in the widow at all. But think about God, though. He absolutely has all interest in us. We could step back and think about it this way. God created the entire universe, including planet Earth. He made a perfect environment. On day number six of creation, he created the people. He showered us with love. When the people fell into sin, he promised the Savior, and then Christ came and did all the work. But why all of that? It's all because of his elect, the ones he has chosen to be with him forever and ever. So all of that he did, all of that he continues to do day by day for you and for me. Think about how very blessed we are. And then it says here that with the idea of persistence, the widow, she kept coming and coming until finally the judge gave her what she wanted. But what about us, though? Jesus said that as elect ones, we are to cry out to God day and night. So we are to be even more persistent than the widow. That's what Jesus is trying to say to us here. And then think about the timing. So over probably a short period of time, we could say, maybe over days or weeks, the woman kept coming and coming, and finally the judge gave in. But what about us, though? This is a key part here. What about us? Should our persistence be less than the widow, or should it be greater than the widow? I'm here to say it should be greater, because the Christian life is a marathon. It is not a sprint. So we need to have great persistence that goes on and on and on until finally we are with God forever. What about with eternal life? Jesus made it very clear that those who believe in him have eternal life right now. So we don't have to wait until later. We have it now. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has," present tense, right now, "eternal life." So we have it now, but we don't have the fullness of it yet. Let's take comfort in knowing we have it now, but let's look forward with great anticipation to the fullness of it yet to come. And then, regarding time, it did talk in there about God acting speedily for us. And yet sometimes for us, maybe oftentimes, we're thinking, "God, did you hear my prayer? Are you ever going to take action?" Or we might think about Jesus. Jesus said, "I'm going to return." So what is this? Why hasn't he come yet? Well, if you think about the initial promise that the Savior would come, he was promised and then he came about 4,000 years later. So we shouldn't be surprised that now we're at about 2,000 years. But whenever it seems to be slow that God is reacting, let's always know he has a very good reason. Take a look in 2 Peter chapter 3, and you'll see that even now it says that Jesus is delaying in coming or is slow in coming because he's waiting for more and more to repent. So a very good reason. So whenever we have to wait, God has a reason. What about the value? Well, the unrighteous judge, he placed absolutely no value on the widow. We could say that he couldn't care less about her. So on the scale of caring, the arrow was all the way at the bottom. He couldn't care less. But what about God, though? Our righteous God, he values us so much that he sent his Son into the world to put on flesh, to bear our punishment, and to open the way of heaven. So God has done so much. He values us way more than we can even comprehend. And then finally, with the topic of faith, what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? Sadly, he said, many will fall away. Think about how sad that is for someone to actually know Jesus Christ. So to be baptized into Christ, to have faith in Christ as Savior, to have the forgiveness of their sins and be in possession of the gift of eternal life, and then to fall away. Is there anything more sad in the whole world than that happening? And yet Jesus very clearly said, many will fall away. So when it happens, we shouldn't be surprised about it, but it's still extremely, extremely sad. However, though, can someone fall away? And then can God bring them back again? He can. So as people are still living, if they've fallen away, we shouldn't give up on them. We should continue to cry out to God in prayer and asking God to bring them back. How does God do that? He works by his Spirit through his word. So get them the word of God in some way, and God will work through that word. Let me go back to the final verse here one more time. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, he was saying, will people be continuing in their persistence, calling out to God, trusting in God, or will they have given up? That's what he's talking about. So God wants us to be the ones who do not give up no matter what. So the challenge here is that we go through life remembering that God loves us, that he has saved us through Jesus Christ, that he really does hear our prayers, that he is able to help us no matter what the situation might be. And then remembering all of that, let us, by his grace, by his power, let us keep trusting in him, let us keep praying to him, and let us never give up no matter what. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, even though this life can be hard sometimes, we pray that you would keep us always trusting in Jesus, keep us growing up in your holy word, keep us full of the Holy Spirit, and keep us always crying out to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, please attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule. Saturdays, divine service at 4. Sundays, divine service at 9. Classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and for much more, go to our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. Now, may the Lord of Peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.